Our Old Testament scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 33, verses 1 through 12. Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. From the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering for a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A man got into a terrible car crash, and his vehicle ended up going off the side of a mountain. And in his leg, and he just was not in good shape. But fortunately for him, a group of monks were on the way back to their monastery, so they took him with them and took care of him and healed him, helped him in the process. And the man was just so grateful to them. And as they got him up and he was walking again and building up strength, they would always pass this door. And coming from the door, the closed door, behind the closed door, was the most beautiful music he had ever heard. And so every day he asked the monk who was walking with him, what was behind that door? And every day the monk said, I cannot tell you, you are not a monk. And this went on for the weeks and months that it took for him to recover. And so he was so grateful to them that he decided that he was going to stay on with them and he was going to become a monk and dedicate his life to God and prayer. He spent years training. I mean, he was told to do chores, told to look after the animals, told to solve issues that were basically impossible. And after almost a decade, he was finally a monk. He was so proud. He had worked so hard. And he asked the monk who had guided him through this process and who years ago had first shown him that door behind which was the music. And he asked if he would show him behind the door. And they walked towards the door, and he could faintly hear the music. And as they got closer, the music was just a little louder. And the monk slowly opened the door. What was behind the door? I can't tell you, you aren't a monk. I'm sure it does not come as a surprise to many of you when I say that it has been scientifically proven that prayer changes things. Pages and pages of scientifically conducted, methodologically precise, double-blind experiments attest to the healing power and effectiveness of prayer. Prayer changes things. Matthew's gospel, it's like he takes all of the miracle stories of Jesus and he to chapters 8 and 9, which I think was designed maybe to emphasize Jesus' unique identity. But the miracle stories demonstrate that Jesus was not just some gifted teacher or itinerant wonder works magician, that he was God's son, the anointed one, the Messiah. And this week's gospel reading contains Jesus' call of Matthew, the tax collector, and a double healing story, healing the woman with a hemorrhage and raising a little girl from the dead. And the text begins with Jesus encountering Matthew, a customs official, a Jewish customs official. Matthew's profession was a despised one. Not only were fee collectors suspected of taking more than they were due, strict Jews held that they and many other banking-type professionals were in violation of the Torah laws. Thus, even if Matthew were honest, he was still deemed reprehensible. He was an outcast on the fringe of society. But Jesus didn't care. First, he speaks openly and directly to Matthew, inviting him to follow me. And in verse 10, Jesus is depicted at dinner with an entire group of tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus is not preaching before these outcasts or lecturing them sternly on their sinfulness. They clearly are a group gathered in fellowship. Jesus is literally a friend of sinners. Now, the Pharisees, these paragons of righteousness, are appalled at Jesus' behavior, and they question his disciples about it. And Jesus responds in verse 12, explaining why he keeps this company. Jesus describes himself as a physician and sinners as those who are in need of healing. Jesus maintains that he came to call or invite not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus stands with the outcasts. And then there are two powerful healing stories, and Matthew combines them together. And I think, again, he's just trying to prove that Jesus' healing powers were divine. Jesus is approached by a leader of the synagogue who asks Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who's not just sick, but in Matthew's account, she's already died. And so as he is traveling to the man's home, he encounters another person in need of healing. But she approaches secretly, and for good reason. First, she was a woman. And for her to openly approach a man who was not a member of her own family was very improper. And second, because of her affliction, this woman was considered ritualistically unclean. If she touched Jesus, she would defile him, and he would need to go through certain purification ceremonies before he could once again be considered clean. Her condition made her an outcast, on the fringe of society, not even considered a whole human being. And again, Jesus doesn't care about such things. And both she and the little girl are healed. God can be a healing presence and power in your life. And I think most of you know that. You've experienced it. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or not done. You are a beloved child of God and worthy of God's grace and healing. So let's get back to that power of prayer. Prayer heals. In those double-blind, carefully studied groups, those who were prayed for had significantly better rates of improvement, fewer complicating problems, and even reduced medicinal needs. And even more remarkable was the fact that those doing the praying did not have to be physically anywhere near the one for whom they were praying. The simple fact that the prayers were being offered up somewhere on their behalf, that person seemed to stretch out healing powers that immediately connected with the one in need of healing. And that's pretty awesome. And again, I think something for which most of us are aware. This church, we believe in the power of prayer. Love heals. There is something that long distance as well as hands-on healing events seem to have in common. The presence of love. Compassion, concern, empathy, all those non-medical elements we long for are the common components in successful healings. Without love, without specific caring, making that healing connection is impossible. Healers of all stripes testify to the common belief that the ability to extend love toward those seeking healing is the first step. It seems as though love is what opens up that connection between a healer and one who desires healing. After feeling the touch of the hemorrhaging woman, Jesus turns and addresses her directly, but with such a profound gentleness. He offers her encouragement. Take heart. And he opens his own heart to this woman by addressing her as daughter. While love is not the cause of any healing that takes place, it is the only environment in which it can occur. And in today's gospel text, Matthew reworks the stories he shares with Mark and Luke in order to emphasize that faith in Jesus' healing abilities, not some magical healing aura surrounding him, is what makes healing possible. The hemorrhaging woman's faith is both demonstrated by her actions and then declared by Jesus himself when he says, "Your faith has made you well." The synagogue leader's faith is remarkable. I mean, his daughter has died, and in the presence of death itself, he still believes that Jesus can come and heal her and bring her back to life. Faith is what links together Jesus' healing power with the wounded parts of our lives that require his healing touch. Faith is what enables the believer to become so intimately connected to Jesus that becomes our wholeness. As Matthew recrafted all the healing stories of Jesus, he was careful to demonstrate the intentionality of each miracle. Jesus did not continually ooze some healing power. You could not experience healing simply by standing downwind of him. When Jesus healed, it was intentional and informed. Healing was a definitive action, not some accident of interception. Jesus intentionally healed others because God is a healing God, and God uses us to heal as well. Several years ago, those of you who remember magazines and reading them and having subscriptions, so this tells you it's been a number of years. Women's Day magazine shared a story by the pastor of a congregation of a family within his church. When Karen was pregnant with her second child, it was a normal pregnancy, and her three-year-old son Michael began a relationship with his unborn sister by singing to her every night. Night after night, he would sing his new sister a song. And when it came time for Karen to give birth to the baby, there was a lot of difficulty during the delivery. And Michael's baby sister was in serious condition by the time she was finally born, and she was rushed into the NIC unit. As the days crawled by, the infant grew weaker. The pediatric specialist told the family that it looked very grave for this little girl and began to prepare them for her unexpected death. And during the stay in the NIC unit, Michael continually asked about seeing his little sister. He wanted to sing to her. And at the beginning of the second week, they dressed him in an oversized scrub suit and took him into the unit to see his sister. And the medical personnel were not happy about this. In fact, they became angry that there was a three-year-old in the unit. And Michael was asked to leave, but his mother protested and said he's not leaving until he sings to his sister. And so Michael made his way over to the bassinet that held his sick little sister, and he began to sing this song. You are my sun, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Remember how the song ends? Sing it with me. Please don't take my sunshine away. Woman's Day magazine called it the miracle of a brother's song. The doctor just called it a miracle. Karen called it a miracle of God's love. And the next day, when they thought they might be planning a funeral, they took Michael's sister home. She had responded immediately to the familiar voice of her brother. Will you let God sing you back to life today? Will you listen for that familiar voice that was speaking to you before you were born? And once you've heard the music, will you now sing other people back to life and back to faith. There's a world out there dying because they haven't heard the music of God's love for them. Will you sing? Come on, do it with me. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.